Carpenter, God bless you. So glad to have you with us.
Well, the singing was good, wasn't it? Amen. It's a blessing to be here. It's always an honor to come to Landmark. I'm privileged to know your pastor. I think I have the lapel on, the tie mic or whatever. some people asked me one time, they said, why do you put the mic or the lapel thing, microphone, whatever it is, on the backside of your belt? And some of you may know this, I don't know, but I'm like a bull in a china shop sometimes. And if there's anything that's around, I'm probably going to catch my hand on it and tear it up. And when I surrendered to preach nearly 20 years ago, as Pastor said, I was a former college football player, and I was a fairly big guy at one time, and I had one suit. It was a green suit. I looked like Gumby, to be honest with you, but I wore it every time I preached. And I'd always seen my pastor reach up and grab the microphone and just pull it out because he was using the lapel. And, you know, you're a young preacher, you want to be like your pastor. And I went up there and I just pulled it out. I didn't know there was a button there to release everything. But everything came. Amen. Wires and wood and all that. That was a wonderful thing to get started off on. Amen. And but God's good, and I'm glad to be here. And I've surrendered to the mission field, to planting churches in the United Kingdom, working in conjunction with Help Ministries. Now, meaning that my national pastors that we will plant churches with over there will tie in with Help Ministries and come in on our round robins meetings. I have the utmost respect for Brother Scotty Drake. I was blessed to be able to go to Israel with him. Of course, sometimes I was thinking I was cursed to be in Israel with him. We have plenty of stories to share, amen, about Brother Scotty Drake. And we had a tour guide from Israel and a tour guide from Florida, amen, with us. Brother Scotty was the other one. It was a blessing. And Brother Carter is going to allow me to present the ministry of church planting in the United Kingdom this coming Wednesday. Looking forward to being back with you and spending this week here, amen. Again, Landmark is a blueprint, I believe, of what churches and colleges should be across the country, amen. So you pray for your church and your pastor or your pastors, amen. And you pray for this college. I believe that the work that it's done in the past will still be seen in the future, amen, if we stay faithful for what the Lord would have us to do. I'd ask you to open your Bibles up to the book of Leviticus this morning. I got thinking about things and coming and preaching here. And I remember the first time I preached here, I believe it was back in 04 or 03. And I got up here and I said, I'd like to bring a message to you this evening. It was a Wednesday night. And I said, it's titled Living Above the Snake Line. And Dr. Carter had preached that back in the mid-90s down in my church that I was saved in. And I told him about that message. It was one of the blessed messages I had ever heard preached. And he told me a story about the very same thing happening, somebody coming and re-preaching that sermon, amen, in his church. And that's funny, praise the Lord, never want to do that. Hope and pray that you're faithful to the house of God. Reminded of a story of a boy who asked his daddy. He said, Daddy, he said, did Grandpa make you go to church when you was my age? He said, yes, he did. He said, do you have to go to Sunday school? He said, yes, sir, every Sunday. He goes, did you go to morning service? He said, yep. Did you go to evening service? He said, yes, sir. He goes, I even went to midweek service. And every event that the church had going on, he said, your Grandpa made me go to every single one of those things. And that old boy sat there and he mused for a second and he says, well, it's probably not going to help me either. Amen. And but praise the Lord. I trust this morning will help you. And I told Dr. Carter this yesterday. I said, I got to go back in my mind of my jokes because 99% of the jokes that I use, I got from him. Amen. So got to be careful with that. Leviticus in chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to have you open your Bible to Leviticus 6 and hold your finger in Leviticus 9. We're going to be there briefly. I won't have you turn this morning very much. And if you'll do so, if you're able today and you have your Bibles open, let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Leviticus in chapter 6, as you study out the Word of God, you find out that many critics and Bible haters. Well, I tell you, that was good Sunday school class this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
That was good stuff. Can I say this to you? Since stepping down as pastor in May, I've been in about 25 churches around around the South and the Midwest and whatnot. You don't get Sunday school teaching like that everywhere. I'm telling you that right now. You better cherish what you have in this church, amen. But the book of Leviticus has been known as the bloody book of the Bible, and people, they don't like getting into it. They said there's too much blood there. And friend, can I say this to you today? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, amen. You can't have forgiveness of your sin unless there was a blood sacrifice, praise the Lord. If I would have been the only one, as the dear sister sang, he would have still came and suffered the shame and suffered and died on that cross and covered my sins with his perfect and pure blood, amen and amen. Leviticus 6, read with me if you will, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. The fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, and shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." Before you're seated this morning, please turn over to Leviticus 9. Read with me the last two verses. We'll have a brief prayer and sit down. The Bible says in verse 23, "Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." Boy, I tell you what I'd do to see that. Amen. "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted, fell on their faces." Heavenly Father, we pray the special blessing upon the reading of your word today. We ask you, dear God, to have your will and your way in our lives. Remove me out of the way, dear God, I pray. Touch and tender our hearts and minds, Lord, that we may heed the precious word that you've given us. We ask all these things in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thanks so much. Please be seated. Thank you for your long standing and reading of the word of God, if you will. But the Bible says there in Leviticus 9, it says that the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And if you look there in chapter 9, in Leviticus, that was Leviticus 6, that it shall never go out. But if you look there in Leviticus 9, the last verse that we read, the Bible says that when that fire came out from the presence of the Lord, when it came down and it consumed that sacrifice there, when it did so, friend, the people, beloved, the people shouted, amen, and they fell on their faces. Now I want you to understand that the law of the burnt offering, it is a sacrifice, friend, a sacrifice to atone for the soul's sin. When mankind would sin against their neighbor, they would sin against their family member. When they would sin against one another, and listen, when you sin against someone, you're primarily sinning against God in and of himself, amen. They would take the finest of their flock as a sacrifice of burnt offering unto the priest, and that was a peace offering for their sins. This sacrifice that was dictated how it would happen in Leviticus 6, we find that it was consumed as fire fell from heaven in Leviticus chapter 9. Now I want you to make a note in your mind this morning that the Jews would teach that very fire that fell in Leviticus 9 continued to burn all the way until the Babylonian exile, the Babylonian captivity in 606 AD, BC, under Nebuchadnezzar. That fire continued to burn upon that altar from the moment that it fell until the Jews were taken into captivity. Beloved, notice in the 9th chapter that when it fell, the Bible says that the people shouted. The Bible says that they fell on their faces, amen. And I think I can venture out to say this morning,
That if you're here today, saved and born again of the blood of Christ, knowing that you're going to heaven without a shout, without a doubt, without any type of hesitation, that you know that if Christ came back today, in a twinkling of an eye, you would be changed. You'd be caught up together with him in the clouds, and forever shall you ever be. Amen. Hey, if you died today, I believe, as the Bible says, be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. I believe today that if you're here this morning and you know that you're saved and born again, that your sins are covered by the precious blood of Christ, that at one time in your life you shouted amen for joy about that salvation. I know for a fact that you fell on your face sometime since the time that you got saved and born. I don't know what happens to us, preacher, amen. We shout when we get saved and we can't lose it, but then we don't shout anymore, amen. I mean, we sit in there like a bunch of Presbyterians in the church of God and say, well, I don't want to say amen. I don't want to raise a hand. I better not go to the altar and pray. Buddy, when that fire came down from heaven and it consumed that sacrifice and they knew their sins were paid for, they had no hesitation nor problem to shout out the glory to the Lord that day, nor did they have a problem falling upon their face, amen, and giving prayer unto our Lord. But you know, here's the thing about it. There was a service, there was an instance, there was something that happened in your life when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, it fell upon your heart, it fell upon your soul, it fell upon your mind and yourself, and you recognize your sinful state and the dire need of a Savior, and you got saved. But see, that service or that moment or that instance in your life, it has come and gone. Amen. Now, you know what I'm talking about. That church service, that shout around, that wild amen on the day that you were born again, that time came and went, and the shout may have ceased, but the fire shall never go out. Amen. You see, I want you to realize, beloved, that the very fire that Moses and Joshua and Caleb and all the people of that day, that very fire that fell and consumed that sacrifice, they saw it proceed out from the presence of God, and it was the very same fire that was seen by Samuel and Samson and Nathan and David and Solomon and Josiah and Joab and Isaiah and all the way down to Daniel. The same fire that Moses saw come out that day continued to burn. And all of our heroes of the faith, friend, they saw that same fire burning on that altar. This is the fire, friend, when one sins against their neighbor and primarily against God. The same flame that burned the offering to atone for their sin is the same flame that burned upon that altar and enabled them to walk again in peace and reconciliation with the Father. Friend, it was a sacrifice that was spotless. It was a sacrifice, the finest of the flock, without spot, without blemish, that had to pay the price to cover the multitude of blemishes that mankind had. You see, that same flame burned for all those years. But yet it was on the cross of Calvary when God the Father offered up a perfect lamb that stood on that tree without spot and without blemish, sinless in the eyes of God. He that knew no sin, friend, for you and I became sin, amen, that he may have victory over death and victory over the grave, praise the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ was the final burnt offering upon the altar of God. The cross may have been the tool, the altar may be the picture, but it was the flame of fire from within that moved the people to be drawn toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me. Friend, that altar is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ yet even today. It is the one place where your sacrifice must be brought. The burnt offering depicts Jesus Christ offered himself without spot or blemish unto God. It is the foreshadow of the cross of Calvary where our Savior accomplished the will of God, the perfection of Christ offering himself through the eyes of the Father. That peace or that meat offering, friend, upon the altar depicts the perfect manhood of Jesus Christ, emphasizing of the life that was offered in his very perfect character to cover an imperfect man. That peace offering that goes upon that flame speaks of restored communion with God. It is a result of a perfect satisfaction rendered in Jesus Christ. And can I say this to you this morning? There is peace in the life of a soul that has been reconciled unto God the Father. Oh, it was a flame that was on that cross of Calvary that day. Now, I'm not talking about any kind of spooky, funny, superstitious flame, any kind of Pentecostal thing. I'm telling you, it was the power of God that fell down upon that cross. It was the power of God as Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy, even yet from Genesis 3, where his heels were bruised by the serpent's head, amen. And his head was bruised by the heel of our Savior as he was nailed upon that cross and continued to push himself up on that crucifix, guys. Those heels were bruised as Christ would push up for that breath, amen. You say, where is that flame? Don't you remember the road to Emmaus, where as the guys said, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? While he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Dr. Carter talked about that AV, that King James Bible this morning. And well, I tell you what, you open up those scriptures and the Holy Ghost gets involved in that thing, it'll burn somebody's heart, it'll convict their soul, it'll convict their life, it'll convict of who they are, who they need to be, and what Jesus Christ did for them, amen. There's a fire in that cross of Calvary. There's a fire that was seen in that altar, and that fire shall not be put out, the Bible says. Boy, 50 days after that resurrection, Pentecost shows up there. And let me tell you something. God sent another flame of out of his presence that day. The flame of the falling of the Holy Spirit of God. And guess who? It wasn't Nathan and David and Samuel and those men in that day. It was Peter, James, and John and the other disciples and the 120 that saw that fire that day. That burning of the Holy Spirit of God. That transformation of what used to be, of what needs to be now. It was the moving that day. They saw that fire, amen. And they were never the same ever since. Amen. Just as Moses and Joshua and David saw the fire of their day, Peter, James, and John and the others saw the fire in their day. And guess what they did? They shouted and they fell on their face. Amen. It was the Apostle Paul that saw that flame of fire, that Damascus transformation. It was the Apostle Paul that saw that flame of fire in those mountains of Arabia when he received that revelation for 40 days. When he received the mystery of what the church is that everyone would come under one rule, under one blood, one spirit, one baptism, amen. Hey, we all come under one death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Paul that saw that flame of fire. You said, how do you know? He said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, that our God is a consuming fire, amen. Friend, our Lord places a fire deep in within us. We're saved and born again. He cleanses us from all of our sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ is that burnt offering that was given once. And friend, he was given for all. Amen. I ran into these people that believe in predestination and they believe that they were chosen from the foundation of the world. And I like what Dr. Carter said a minute ago, nail your tongue to a pole and walk off. Amen. That's harsh, praise the Lord. Amen. If you can put up with that, you can put up with anything. They believe they're chosen from the foundation of the world to be saved and born again. And if they believe they're chosen, somebody that dies and goes to hell, according to the Word of God, we know they will be many. It means they were chosen not to go. The Bible tells me that God's not willing that any should perish. Amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If all sin, all must come to the cross. All must come to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and have all their sins paid for to the glory and honor of our Savior. Jesus Christ was offered upon that altar once and for all. But friend, can I give you this picture today and we'll be done here in just a matter of minutes. In the Old Testament, we find that there were priests that were given a great task of making sure that fire never went out. They were placed in charge of keeping the flames burning, amen. So I want you to notice from the end of Leviticus chapter 6, notice first with me the wood. If you see there in verse 12 of Genesis 6, just in the very first part, it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning, and it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Can I say this to you this morning, that every morning there was wood that was placed on this fire that had fallen out of heaven. There was wood that was placed on there to ensure that it burned throughout the day. Every single morning, something physical, something was placed on there, and it was a piece of wood that would burn. Can I say this to you, that wood is substance, friend? Wood is something that is tangible. The fire of the Holy Spirit of God filled you and I the very moment of salvation. It came in upon of us, but that fire that fell, it needs substance in its life. It needs substance for it to keep burning and burning and burning, lest it go out and you get cold in your Christianity. See, that wood is substance. The Bible tells me in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's not a soul in here today that has died and gone to heaven and come back. Don't give me a book at the end of service. I don't want that. I don't want a video or a YouTube clip or an email or a forward. I don't want that, amen. There's two people that died and saw heaven and lived to tell about it. And number one was the Apostle Paul, and he says very little bit about it, amen. He said there's unspeakable things there, amen. And then, of course, there's John, and he says very little about it. There's more said in the Bible about hell than there is heaven, amen. But there's things that we haven't seen. There's things that we haven't touched. There's things that we haven't tasted, and we put our ever-loving faith in it so that we may go there one day. Faith is the substance. It is the wood upon the fire of the Holy Spirit of God that is rested down inside of you, that will keep it burning, that will keep it looking toward heaven, that will keep your eyes upon the finish line, where our author and finisher of the faith is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. According to the book of Ephesians, my friend, we are just as good as sitting with him there today as we will be on the rapture the day that we die, amen. But I'm here to tell you this, that our faith will fuel the fire that God has given each and every one of us. It is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. It'll keep you looking toward heaven. You say, well, preacher, Fox News keeps me looking toward heaven. Amen. Me too. Praise the Lord. I tell you, Fox News, we don't have cable at the house. I get to watch it every now and then, but we had it at an office I used to be in years back. And early in the morning, it'd say, breaking news, right? About 3 o'clock, breaking news. And it's the same thing. I wanted to call him and say, listen, Shepherd, it's already broke, man. It's done. Find something new. Bunch of Athenians, amen. That's what they are. Athenians, they did nothing but live their life around hearing and telling something new.
Yeah.
That's all the news is, amen. I'm sorry, don't want to get on something. I tell you, some conservative independent Baptist circles, you start jumping on Shepherd Smith, man, that's like talking about their mama or something, amen. I don't mind it. It's the best. Man, I felt a rabbit slide out of my pocket right there. I'm going to leave it go. There must be some fire, friend. There must be some substance to kindle the fire that God has given each and every one of us. And that's that wood that those priests would put on there. But it's going to take some work, guys. Notice with me back in verse 12 that it says there that he had burned the wood on it, but it says every morning. Friend, it's a daily process of exercising our faith, of fortifying our faith through the Word of God in the midst of the flames of fire that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And I'm not talking about a works salvation. There is no works in salvation, amen. You're saved by grace through faith. Hey, it's a gift of God. There's nothing you can do. You can't do anything to earn it. Therefore, you can't do anything to lose it. Say amen. But I'm telling you today, after salvation, the Bible says that we're saved unto good works, amen. I had a guy tell me in my church one time years back, he looked at me square in the eyes. He said, listen, if something ain't working, if something ain't growing, it's dying. And he said it and he walked out. And I sat there for a little while and I thought, got thinking about that. And I thought about that for a long time before I ever it came to a conclusion. But, you know, he was right. Friend, if your faith sits still, if you're the fire that God has given you, hey, you know what? It starts to get cold, amen. I was looking around here, it's 900 degrees outside in January, and I was looking around here earlier, and you guys are putting blankets on, amen. Yeah. I called my mom on the way to church. I said, boy, I'm back in Florida, man. It's 80 degrees, and it ain't 930 yet, amen. I'm not complaining by any stretch of the imagination. I'm surprised she didn't hang up on me, amen. But I'm just trying to tell you that there's a flame inside of us that Christ put there, that the Holy Spirit put there when we got saved, and it is the wood, our faith, through working and doing it every day, flaming that fire every single day. Think on these terms right here. In the Old Testament, those priests, they had a daily job, a daily chore to do, and it's not only they had to find wood for the fire. Think about it. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. I guarantee you some places were probably not too easy to find some wood, amen. They had to do that every day. They had to keep wood on it every day because God gave a commandment that that fire shall never be put out. But they had to keep that fire burning through wars. You go back and you study your Old Testament when Amalek came in there, when all the trials of Balaam and Balak and all these things that went on, that fire still had to keep burning, friend. When windstorms came their way, that fire had to be burned through worry and through waywardness. Listen, we get a wayward child in our life today and we're ready to pull up anchor and move on, blame the church and the pastor and his son and his wives and wife, sorry. I mean, now we really would think we got the other guy in the president in the White House now. Amen. That's what we do. We get a wayward child in our home. We say, well, I'm leaving church, ain't going back. Like the church did something, amen. I mean, well, so I'm not reading my Bible. The Lord didn't do that, praise the Lord. And to be honest with you may not have done that. I don't think the Father in Luke 15, I don't think he did anything wrong. He's a picture of our Heavenly Father, amen. That boy just wanted to leave, amen. He didn't quit loving him. He set a limit on that. I mean, he took care of what he did when he came back. But I'm here to tell you, we get a waywardness in our life. We're just ready to pull up ship and go. These priests, even in waywardness, even when their homes, friends, were weary. They were tired. You think they were ever tired? Yeah, they were tired. They walked everywhere, amen. You think Jesus Christ was tired? Boy, I got to thinking about this morning, Dr. Carter. Jesus Christ crossed that valley, that valley, that Kidron Valley. He went over there to Gethsemane and he started praying. You guys know the story, and that time's not, you know, we don't need to go into it. And when he got up, then he was arrested. Then he crossed that valley again and was brought to Caiaphas. And he was examined and mocked and beaten and spat upon and covered. And then he was taken to Pilate. Then he was taken to Herod. Then he was taken back to Pilate. And then he was beaten some more. Then he was scourged. And then he was cast out into the street to carry that beam up that hill, amen. And I don't think he took a nap anytime, friends. I believe my Savior was a little bit weary, praise the Lord, but he kept the fires a burning, amen, that high priest. Through wants, through wanderers, through wickedness, these priests had to keep the flames burning. It's a daily act of work, of fanning the flames of the Word of God upon the table of our heart to keep it burning. And lastly, let me say this to you, it's going to take some willingness. Verses 12 and 13, just to sum up in verse 13, says, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. The Lord has given this world the greatest gift it could ever receive, and that was that of His Son. The fire upon the altar of sacrifice, the fire that shall never go out. Listen, the newness of your salvation should never get old. Say amen right there. Amen. You remember that night? Do you remember that church service? Do you remember that day? I remember it like it was yesterday. I could tell you what I had on. I could tell you what Jim Ellis was wearing, amen. I could tell you what time it was. You say, why? Because I remember all the things like that, amen. I just turned 22 years old on the 31st of last month. Praise the Lord. You say, my soul, you look old, amen. That was a spiritual birth. You ought to see what's on the inside, amen. That Old Testament priest fanned those flames. He did it willingly, friend. He fanned those flames, and that fire was passed to Joshua and Elijah, down to Elijah, and down to David and Solomon, Isaiah and Daniel. That fire was seen of Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and the others. And they fueled that flame in the establishment of the New Testament church. Listen, Polycarp picked that fire up, and he died by fire. But he picked that fire, the Holy Spirit of God, up, and he carried it on. 200 years later, a young man by the name of St. Patrick was born, was sold into slavery into Ireland, got loose, and then went back. Some deacon's son went back. Back to Ireland, evangelized the entire place, amen. He was a Baptist, he wasn't a Catholic, by the way. Schubel Stearns picked it up here in America, and he fueled that fire with Daniel Marshall and Ezekiel Hunter. Christmas Evans picked it up in the nation of Wales. Hey, listen, in England, all over, Spurgeon did it. And all over the world, Talmadge picked that fire up. And we find in the 20th century, Sam Pete Jones preaching in those open-air meetings in Nashville, Tennessee, and J. Frank Norris down in Texas and Detroit, Michigan, amen. R.G. Lee throughout the middle of the South, he preached it. And listen, men like Lee Robertson preached the Word of God, amen. They fanned that flame, and Dr. Mickey Carter, amen. They've been fueling that flame all along this time. And it comes down into the ranks of you here today. Are you listening this morning? Is that fire that shall never go out inside of you, has it gotten cold? You know, things don't move well when they're cold. Have you ever received a glimpse of yourself, a glimpse of that fire that may proceed out of the presence of God into your heart? That fire that convicted you of your sin against mankind, which is primarily against God. David said in Psalm 51:4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Have you come to the distinct realization of your sinful state and the dire need of a Savior? Let me ask you this, friend. Can you see your reflection in the face of Christ? As that flame flickers on inside of your heart today? Or has it dulled down to where no light is even given? It is a fire that should never go out. You may be here today and you say, preacher, I got that fire. Has it been fueled and fanned? You may be here today and say, preacher, I don't even know what that fire is. I've never heard of that before. I simply ask this question in closing this morning. Have you ever received the free gift of eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, I've been a church member for 20 years. I didn't ask if you're a church member. Didn't ask if he's baptized. Didn't ask you whose son, daughter you are. I'm asking you today. Have you received the precious gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ today and the sacrificial offer that he did upon the